This show is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Network. Hi, my name is Felice Gerwitz, and I'm the host of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show. I've met some amazing, godly people. The Lord put these people in my path, and I can't wait to introduce you. I invite you to connect with all of us on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network on Facebook. And now, let's get started. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show. And today I have an extraordinary guest. This is one of my virtual friends. It sounds funny saying that. But Marnie Swedberg, who is going to be coming on in just a moment, is one of those kindred spirits that I met online. I first met Marnie when she interviewed me for her podcast. And just connected with her, I could see that her heart was one for ministry, and she's done an amazing work. And if you want to know more about Marnie, and I highly recommend you check her out, go to Marnie, and that's MARNIE.com. And it shouldn't surprise me, but it always does to see what Marnie's doing next. And I received an email with her latest book and got a chance to preview it, and I am so excited, guys. And the name of the book is Flow Through Vessel. And today my guest is Marnie, so welcome, Marnie.
Hi, Felice, and hi, everybody.
Oh, Marnie, it is so exciting to have you on. And, you know, you have a podcast that you host regularly, so tell us about that.
Well, that one is called Marnie's Friends, and you can just find it at marniesfriends.com. And what I do is I do a rotation of the 12 life zones, including family, faith, and writing, speaking, media, managing, women's ministry, event planning, more. And what we do is we do a rotation, and we go through training each week on one of those areas of life and helping people who want to get their message out there to be able to do it in the best way possible. So it's for everybody, but it's especially for people who are sharing what is in their heart with other people.
Oh, so great. And I've been a guest a couple of different times and have enjoyed your show format. And also your writing. You've been a guest on the Ultimate Homeschool Expo many times, talking about organization, talking about cooking. You know, you have, you and your husband own a restaurant and a retail store in, Minnesota? Am I going to get it right?
Yep.
I knew it was somewhere cold that starts with an M.
Yes, it's definitely Minnesota.
Yeah, and so, you know, so if you guys are in Minnesota, you'll have to look up Marnie and get to meet her in real life, which is always fun. We almost got to meet once when you were in Florida, but
I
it didn't
know.
Work out.
We were
yeah.
so close.
But we will someday. My dream is to share the stage with you somewhere speaking. So we'll just have to pray
so
that
fun.
In faith. Yeah, that would
be
fun. So you came up with this idea, which I'm sure the Lord led you to, because I know before you go forward with any project, there's a lot of prayer. And it is this amazing book. I think I'm going to call this the Get Unstuck book, because, you know, when you are in a spot that's not a good spot, you're frozen. You know, you just can't make any decisions. And as I was reading through here, I thought, wow, you know, here are the steps that you need to get unstuck. And you actually have a chat. I just noticed that now. I didn't get that far, but chapter 9 is Get Unstuck ASAP.
Right.
Oh, funny. But, you know, I just, that was like the reoccurring theme as I was reading this, because, you know, I'm an author too, so I just can't read a book and just enjoy it. You know, I have the little author's hat gets put on, and then the publisher part of me too. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is really cool. So what gave you the idea for Flow Through Vessel?
You know, what was funny is I was actually working on another book, which will be the next book out, which is called 100 Pounds Down, Not Your Average Approach to Radical Reduction. And it's about different people's journeys losing over 100 pounds. and how their thought processes were involved. So I was working on that book, and I was swimming one day, and we swim laps 3 mornings a week, my husband and I, and I was swimming, and all of a sudden, this in my thoughts, Felice, was the thought, it's time to write that book about being a flow-through vessel. And I thought, what book about being a flow-through vessel? and it was like the thought that came next to us, you know, the book about how to be a straw, how to just be a straw. And you know what a straw is? A straw is just, a straw has no preference for what flows through it at all. It's just this willing vessel that just is stuck in a glass of whatever kind of beverage is available. And when the person takes a drink, out comes exactly what they hoped for, you know, into their mouth. Mm. And that's what we're supposed to be for God. And what's interesting is that I've been living that for years, but I hadn't really thought of it as a book until that morning. And then the next day we left for my daughter's wedding. We flew out, and I got on the plane. I was exhausted, fell asleep right away in my chair, said hi to the person next to me, and fell asleep right away. And when I woke up, I grabbed my computer out, and I started just typing in all kinds of different flow-through vessels, like so many things, like a tunnel. Cars flow through a tunnel from one side to the other. Or how about a pair of glasses? You know, a pair of glasses, an image flows through the glasses to the eye, but the glasses, the corrective lenses, change the image and make it more clear. And in all these ways, how we're supposed to allow God to flow through our lives to other people, and maybe it's just to clarify something for them, or maybe it's to give them a breath of fresh air in a, you know, place that's all confined, and, you know, we're supposed to be oxygen through the tube, you know, the oxygen of God.
Right.
But it's so different, Felice, than trying harder to please God.
Mm-hmm.
It's really letting God live through you instead of you trying to make believe that you're God somehow and conjure up all this goodness and all this love and all these great responses and stuff like that. It's God flowing himself through you, and it's a huge difference. I was sitting by this lady on the plane. We got talking, and she said, tell me about it. She said, what are you working on? I said, a new book I'm writing. She said, tell me about it. And I told her just a little straw analogy. She leaned forward, and she said to me, you have just changed my life.
Wow.
And you know what? That's the response I've been getting from people who I explain what this is about. It's just so freeing to realize that God does not expect you to pretend to be like him or to try to be like him. He just wants to love on you and to let that love flow through you, then overflow really through your life to other people around you.
Oh, that's just beautiful. And, you know, it's, a lot of times we take on other people's junk and we, get stopped up. And I've talked to more people recently, and I don't know if it just comes with age, that you get to the point where you can't do that anymore. But I know that a lot of people have a hard time with that, and, you know, they are under duress. So, like, just give us some examples. Like, how would you stop being a flow-through vessel for everyone else's junk?
Well, we're going to talk about this a little bit as we go through this interview, I think, about the 4 R's.
Mm-hmm.
The first R, really, is just to recognize that you are. And actually, everybody who's listening to my voice right now, you are a flow-through vessel for something. Something is flowing through you. And if it's not God, it's something else. And so you have to just recognize that when someone, let's say that someone is saying hurtful words to you or even just expressing a painful emotion in your direction, you are actually receiving that. And then the question is, how is that going to flow through you? And so in the book, we do a lot of tests. And, you know, there's ways to identify, you know, what's currently happening, what might happen, why this is happening, how to change it. And the book is all about moving from where you are right now to where God can actually flow through you and where you can really appreciate this. But the beauty of letting God flow through us is that he has to flow to us first.
Mm.
So we get all of this benefit of God flowing into us. And then in the overflow, we're able to express that out. So let's say that you have someone who's saying something harsh to you or whatever. Typically, if you're just going to do it yourself, you're either going to respond immediately back, regurgitate it back out, and maybe have it be icky coming out. You know, think about vomit. You know, I mean, it's not just exactly
right.
Like it went in, it's worse coming out, you know. So you're going to do something like that, or else you're going to squish it down inside and later it's going to erupt in some way, either in words or in dis-ease, maybe disease, whatever. It's going to come back out at some point. So what we need to do is in that moment, we need to release it to God. And that's the second R. So you recognize it, then you release it to God. And then the third R is what most people, even a lot of times me, I've been living like this for years, but still, sometimes I forget to pause and receive what God wants to give me. I just move right on to the action part. But if we miss that third R, the receive, then what happens is that we're really actually back to number one again, back to the first R. So the four R's are recognize, release it to God, receive his gift, his little exchange gift. So you've given him something, he wants to give you something back, and then respond. Okay, but what we do is if we miss that receive part, if we just go straight to response, typically we're still in the driver's seat. We've taken it back, and we're still going to fix it ourselves. And so if you pause to receive, and oftentimes what he gives you in that moment is peace or possibly hope or a sense of love for the person. I mean, it's amazing. It's a God thing. It's something that you wouldn't have had yourself. Just a second ago, you didn't have it. But as you release it to God, you can receive whatever he's given you in exchange. And then you just respond with a thank you. Is there anything I can do for you today? And it's really a simple process, but it changes everything.
Wow. And that's under, in your chapter 5, how to move beyond drama, trauma, and self-induced stress. So it's amazing how important that is. And I just love it because it gives you a little bit of a course of action, if you will, but it also makes you stop and pause because, you know, an empty vessel cannot give. And I think a lot of times, you know, we're really working on empty, and that can be a difficult thing.
I talk a lot in the book about the need to fill up, because what happens is if we're not giving out what God has given us, we're simply giving out more of ourselves. Okay, so it talks in the Bible about once we get to heaven. Now, it's not getting into heaven. We're not working our way into heaven. But once we get to heaven as a believer, we stand before God, and there is a point at which all of our works are going to go through a fire. And it says either they're going to get burned up, wood, hay, and stubble, or they're going to be purified like gold and precious stones, and they're going to go into heaven with us. Now, what's making the difference there is whether God did it through you or whether you did it on your own. So let's say that you go out to feed the poor. Okay, that is a wonderful thing to do. And whether you're doing it with God's energy or with your own, it's still a wonderful thing to do right now for the poor. But the difference is going to be, A, how you feel about it right now is going to be limited only depending on who your source is. And B, if it's going to go into heaven with you, it has to come from God in the first place. So this living as a flow-through vessel is great now, and it's great for eternity. Whereas living only with our own source of, you know, power sustaining us is only as good as it is right now. It talks about that in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, though I give my body to be burned, but have not agape, God, his love flowing through me, it's nothing.
And so when you got this idea, did you go to the scriptures and start finding all of these? There's probably more than what we even imagine with the flow through scriptures.
It is actually at the end of the book. I list all the passages that are in the in the book, and there's a study section at the end too, a life application study section that is all scripture. So you can just go and really dig in and see, do I believe that this is true? Do I believe that God, the God of creation, the God of the universe, actually truly wants to just pour himself through my life to benefit other people? And, of course, you know, like I think, okay, so somebody needs money. Well, if God's going to use me to give them money, who does he have to give money to first? Me.
Right.
So,
I mean,
this is just a win-win because he's going to give you all these things first. If somebody else needs encouragement, guess what? He's going to flow encouragement through you to them. I mean, it's just such a win-win. It's such a wonderful place to live, and it's not like it's always easier or just simple, but at the same time, it is never normal. It is never just average. It is God living through us. And I think that's what he means by abundant life. That kind of life.
That's great. And so, you know, if you're just joining us, I've been chatting here with Marnie Swedberg, and Marnie can be found at Marnie, and that's MARNIE.com, and you can find more information about Marnie at all her social media sites, as well as information about purchasing the book, and we're talking about the book Flow Through Vessel. And if you want to grab the show notes, go to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You can even go to ultimatehomeschoolradioshow.com and look for the episode that says Move Beyond Drama, Trauma, and Stress. So I cut down a little bit of Marnie's chapter 5 here. And Marnie, if I could, I'm going to take a minute and go through some of your chapter titles because I think they're so great. And, you know, looking at some of the sections here, the first is stop trying harder and start trusting more. I mean, that could be a whole nother, you know, session on that. But I love that, you know, you just put that in a nutshell. And the chapter one is how to live beyond human limitations. And that obviously is going to have a lot about, you know, this whole concept of flow through, which I love. And then one of the things I do love about Marnie, because she's got it in section two and also at the end, is Marnie's a how-to person, and she really, you know, it's all great to have this philosophy, but now she's going to make us do it. So you're going to do the how-to, and then that's what you just were talking about with the life application study guide. So, you know, and then she's got worksheets and a scripture index and so forth at the end. And then she's got a reality check. So we can, you know, take a break, take a look at it. And one of the things I hear a lot about, because my family is very involved in sports, and that's mastery of skill. And Marnie has that here with habit mastery. Trust issues with God, another very good point, and then her epilogue or the rest of the story. So this is really a chock full book of information that really is going to help you in so many different ways. I mean, one especially what this episode is about is really, you know, reducing that stress in your life. And, you know, I always felt that other people were stressed, Marnie. I never, you know, it was more like an easy go with the flow. Things don't bother me as much. Oh, milk spilled, no big deal, you know. Something breaks, oh, so what? We'll just go buy another. And as life has progressed on, I've realized that it's the little by little, you know, it's the stacking, because I'm the suppressing. Mm-hmm. When you talked about, you know, blowing up, I think I did that a little bit more in my younger years, but as I got older, it was just easier to suppress, not make waves, you know, internalize it, act at least on the forefront if things don't bother me. And then I found out that, you know, I was getting stress, headaches. I would get migraines maybe once a year, and I was getting them like every month, you know, and then every couple of weeks. And then I had to step back and say, I think I'm stressed. You know, you're so busy, you can't even stop to analyze it. That's why I'm like, this is going to be my to-do here, because I love it, you know, and I know I'm going to have to stop on that reality check and be honest. So, you know, you've given us some clues here, but can you share with us, you know, at the beginning of the chapter, you talk about your spiritual 911, and I really, really love that, because it was something I used to do, and I've completely forgotten about it.
You know what I love is that God has made it so easy for us. You know, so sometimes, I mean, there was recently a situation that I was in that was so intense. There was no possible way I could go through 4 R's. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, no, I couldn't even think. That was crazy pain. And, you know, so sometimes, you know, even the name of Jesus is too much. And in that situation, I just cry, God, 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 you know, just as fast as I can until I can transfer into. I really believe that the name of Jesus is our spiritual 911. And not just to make fun of it or to mock it or to only use it in that situation, but the reality is at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And and calling on that name. And actually, what's really funny, guys, is that Philippians 2:9-11, i.e. 9:1-1, actually is that verse. God, every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. And in Judges 7, 9 through 11, Gideon's in trouble, and he's asking God to help him, and God does. God comes and helps Gideon. You know, this 9-11 thing is so important that we have a 9-1-1 to just grab onto in those moments when we are in so much pain, when we're in so much trouble, we don't know what to do. We just call on the name of Jesus. And sometimes you just have to do, that's it. That's all you can get out of your mouth for even minutes. Just Jesus, Jesus, or in your head. You aren't in a position where you can say it out loud. That's okay. Just breathe it. Just breathe Jesus. And what's incredible is that as you do this, pretty soon you'll be able to recognize what's going on and to release that to God and to receive his peace that comes in, peace that passes understanding. I just heard a story last week. Some parents were in their house sleeping in the night and looked out the window, and their son's car was on fire in their driveway.
Oh, my gosh.
And they ran to his room in the house, and he wasn't there, and they ran outside. And as they went, he was in the car, and as they went to grab the car door, the automatic lock locked the car door and locked him in.
Oh,
and he was already passed out, and they could not get at him. And they used their fire extinguisher, and they used everything they could, but they could not get him out of the car. And as they stood on the porch, looking now at the firemen and all the chaos and knowing their son was gone and he had died right there, just barely without, you know, outside of their reach, God spoke to the mom and just said, he's with me. And she said right there in the moment of that chaos, in the moment of that torturing pain, a smile came across her face. Her entire body relaxed. And she just knew, it's okay.
Wow.
He's with me. Now, that's peace that passes all understanding, and that's the kind of radical life that's available to us when we understand how to call on Jesus as our 911 whenever we're in trouble, whether it's a little trouble, can't find my keys, or whether it's a big trouble, I can't get to my child. Okay, same God is going to respond, like just crazy response, and give you peace that passes understanding, and then walk you through the reality of whatever it is that you have to face today. This is our God. He is with us. He loves you. Oh, my goodness. He loves you more than you love your kids, more than you love anything. He loves you more, way more, and he is here for you, and he responds to the simple cry, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, that's amazing. As you were talking, you know, I couldn't imagine this lady's pain, but I think you and I have shared a lot of phone conversations and just conversations in general about different things, Marnie, in our lives. I mean, we've even had just girlfriend time calls, and I think it was you who told me this, and I'm almost positive it's you because it sounds like you. And you were saying, you know, Jesus, you know, God doesn't equip us for someone else's issues. He equips us for our own issues for today. And it just reminds me of you saying that to me, because I can't even imagine how this mother could possibly have felt peace in that moment. But that isn't something that I had to deal with. She did. And her God, you know, my God, filled her needs right then. And so a lot of times we give ourselves, you know, more grief than we need, because I look at the tomorrow, the next year. You know, I'm not a big list person. I actually have gotten better at it, made that my New Year's resolution because I don't like lists. And it makes me accountable. I'd rather not be accountable to all the things I don't want to do. But I'm a big picture person. So I will look at things, and I'm already down 20 years down the road and stressing something that could definitely be different at that point. So I had to learn today, and that God was here for my today, and he would be here for my tomorrow. And, you know, and we're all so different. Other people look at it and say, well, I don't even think, you know, down the road. I mean, I've already finished the story, you know. It's the author in me that looks at, you know, what is the outcome going to be here and how am I going to get to that point? And so, you know, in our lives, you know, it's not the one size fits all. You know, like we hear different passages, and that scripture might be, you know, your best friend's favorite scripture and they'll quote it to you and you're thinking, but this is mine. You know, this is the one that speaks
right.
to me in my heart.
Right.
And so that, I think, is, you know, one of the important things that we have to learn, that, you know, God will provide for us, you know, when we need it, and not necessarily how we want the outcome to be. You know, that's not the conclusion that we like. And that's, you know, that's another thing, you know, when people say to you, well, God doesn't answer my prayers. And, you know, what do you say to that?
Well, first of all, he does answer your prayers, but sometimes it's a no or a wait.
Right.
And there's actually a chart in the book, in the back of the book, called the Wealth Roster. what you do is you actually write down your prayer request on the left side, and then you circle the character qualities that he would be developing in you if he said yes or now. And then you circle the character qualities he would be developing in you if he said no or later. And then over on the right-hand side, you eventually write down his response. Well, the reality is that when we look at it in that perspective and we realize
mm-hmm.
that God is more
mm-hmm.
than just a Santa Claus, and even if he
right.
were just a Santa Claus, he would say, wait till Christmas Eve.
so
we expect more of God than we even do of Santa. We just
right.
want it delivered right now the
right.
way we said. You know, so I think what the Wealth Roster really helps us see, what he's doing is he's developing character. He's actually bringing the whole, and I talked about this in the book, he's bringing the whole history of mankind in for a landing, all on the right day to fulfill every prophecy down to the letter. I mean, this is no small task, and he gives us free will along the way. So what he's doing is he's using every circumstance required to get that final outcome for our good, to develop our character. And sometimes he can say, yeah, sure, great, you got it. And sometimes he has to say, you're going to have to wait for that, but I'm coming through with it soon. And sometimes he says, you know what, no, that one we can't do, but I'm going to give you peace, or I'm going to give you patience, or I'm going to give you long-suffering, or I'm going to give you something else in replacement of what you're asking. And you can know that he's always going to give you something good, even if he can't give you what you asked for.
Right, because, you know, it's, he is answering, but it's not necessarily how we want it to be answered. And I think that's what, you know, and I can't find it the second, but I saw it in your book somewhere where I read, but it's just, you know, it's, you know, we're not God, and we have to stop trying to play God and make it, you know, everything better for everyone. It's just not going to happen. We can't fix everybody's issues, and we have to understand that, you know, God does hear us, but it's not necessarily how we want it to be. And I think that is the biggest thing for us. Because even some prayers, Marnie, let's face it, you know, what I call the righteous prayers that are not, oh, let me win the lottery. You know, Lord, help
right.
my child overcome an addiction, or, you know, let them get better if the child has cancer. I mean, it's amazing how the Lord we can grow in the Lord through those difficult situations.
Yep. And in the book, I actually have a section talking about healing, because that is the time when we are the most, I mean, when you have a loved one who is sick, I mean, that's when we're desperately praying, you know, for God
right.
to heal. But there's four different kinds of healing, everything from self-directed to miraculous, and they're all healing. And then even beyond that, you know, I mean, Jesus healed blind men just in the Bible, and he healed them four different ways: instant and complete, gradual healing, required personal action, and then finally just the healing that I'm looking for here, because I can't remember it exactly. Hang on one second. Scroll into it.
I was like all impressed.
I know, right? I have all this memorized. You know, but I mean, God just doesn't always heal in exactly even the same way. You know, I mean, he just has his own ways of healing, and we only want one kind. Honestly, we are the problem. We only want instant and complete miraculous.
Right.
Anything less than that, we're like, well, God doesn't come through for me. You know, and the reality is that he has many ways of coming through for us, and we need to expand our horizon a little bit and say, we wouldn't even expect, a human physician to do what we expect God to do. You know, we would at least call 911 and get somebody to come out and help us. We would at least expect to pay the bill. We would at least, you know, jump through all the hoops that the doctor would require of us in our healing process. And yet with God, if he doesn't do instant, miraculous, complete, we're ticked off. And he never promised that. He never promised that.
Right. And, you know, I know that a lot of times I felt guilty being stressed about things because, you know, I felt like, you know, if you had more faith, you wouldn't be so stressed. And, I mean, you hear that, you know, from people, you know, if you had more faith, then God would heal you. And that's not how God works. You know, it always really angers me when I hear people say that, because you can have an amazing faith and just be fine with your illness. You know, and
right.
And those are the people that you look at and you say, wow, you know, I wish I could be, you know, have that kind of faith. And yet, you know, when you talk about this in the book, you talk about, you know, true release requiring faith. So can you go through that with us?
Well, and true release is really hard to do. So I like to compare it to selling a house or selling a car. When you sell your house to somebody and they sign it over and they have their own money, you don't have to still own the property and they're paying you, but actually it's, you know, all funded. You got the money for it. You give them the key. You walk away. Now, you don't go back and check on the house. I mean, you don't go make sure they're mowing the lawn or make sure they painted it the way that you would have. You just let go now. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
You don't own it anymore. That's the kind of release that God wants. When we give him a problem or a challenge or a pain or whatever, that's the kind of release he wants. He wants us really to take our hands off of it and give it to him. But, Felice, that feels really irresponsible because we have this picture of God wanting us to do it all ourselves. And so, you know, for him, of course, but ourselves. And that's really not what he wants. He really wants to do it through us. So what we need to do is completely release our hold on whatever it is as if it's not even ours anymore. I mean, I just tease God around with this. Once I release and he gives me peace that he's got it, you know, then I say thank you. And then I kind of tease him and I say something like, you know, God, sorry about that. I just gave you this huge problem now. And now you have this huge problem that I just had a minute ago. But now you have it. And I don't know if you're up to it today, but, you know, is there anything I can do for you? And it's really that level of release that brings joy and brings peace and brings the ability for God to actually flow through me without me kind of contaminating his flow. As long as I'm holding on and I have to be part of the solution and it has to go my way or what I wanted, I'm still holding on, and that's really contaminating God's flow through my life. He still may be flowing through, but not like he could if I would just simply release it and let go. But, Felice, that really feels irresponsible. You know what I mean? Who
right.
could stand and smile as they watch their dead son? You know what I mean? That feels bad. It feels wrong. It feels insensitive. It feels like that can't be right. But the reality is that that's how radical our lives look. When we are letting God flow through us, we can have peace in the midst of the most insanely painful situations. We can have joy when there's no human reason to have it. We can have resources when there are no resources available. I mean, I see this all the time. God just providing supernaturally for our needs. He can. He does. He wants to. But he can't. If we hold on tight, if it's still mine, then it's mine. But if I give it to him, then it's his. And then he can go ahead and do what he wanted to do in the first place.
Mm. You know, and I love the examples you give in your book. I saw this one that really struck me because we have some kind of impossible things it looks like at this point in our lives. And, you know, as our family has grown and we've got kids approaching college and we've got vehicles that need to be replaced and,
right.
So I was laughing when I saw your list. And so you sat down and you prayed with your husband. This was in 2008. And it says here that they chose to live by faith, trusting God both for our needs and for what we would do next. But listen to this list, guys. Okay, $7,000 for the next payment, money they didn't have, working vehicles because neither of theirs was functional. And I'm abbreviating here, time to be in two places at once the following day. And then your husband's knee gave out for his ability to walk for work. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, he wanted to take a leisure walk here. And it says the list was ridiculous and it was impossible. And no one could have guessed we were facing these challenges except God. And after praying, you went on your way and you let, you know, you gave God these issues. And then you said, incredibly, you looked back and 6 of the 7 were taken care of. And there are a few other ones up that I didn't read. But that is amazing, Marnie. And it was it, you know, just stuff out of the blue. Can you share with us some of those situations quickly?
Well, yeah, and you know, this is just normal stuff that we all face. I really love the part of that story there where it says nobody could have guessed that we were going through these things, mm-hmm. you know, because
right.
the reality is we're all facing stuff and it's so unique to you. Your pain is so unique to you. And it's like, well, you could maybe tell somebody, but they wouldn't even know how to begin to help. But God, he can know our needs. You know, so right now, like right this minute, we have a retail store and there's already too much retail in our community and they're building another dollar store. That'll be two in our community of 1,700 people.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, you just go, okay, well, God, this is impossible. This cannot possibly work. So what I do is I just say, okay, God, I recognize that we've got a big problem and I'm going to just release that up to you. So now you have a big problem, okay? You have a retail store that is not going to work with another dollar store coming into town. So I just release that up to you, and I receive what? I just get quiet for just a moment. God, what do you want to give me? You just want to give me peace. Okay, So now I have peace, and then God, now thank you very much. And you have a big problem. Is there anything I can do for you today? Finish talking to police, and then I'll tell you what to do next. And you know what? This is life. This is how we go. This is how we roll. And in the book, there's even in the appendix, there's a worksheet called the 4-Hour Worksheet. And this worksheet will allow you to go ahead and write out what you're recognizing, what you're going to release, what you received, and how you're going to respond now. And it's going to go through. There was one day that I released the first thing, maybe the retail store, whatever it was, and there were so many things underneath it that I couldn't really release. And I ended up filling out, like, I don't know, 22, I think, line items. Of things I had to release one by one. It was pretty fast. It just took like 15 minutes. But by the time I was done, I had peace. I had so much peace about all of it. And I thought, I had all that junk inside me, and now it's all gone, you know? I mean, how freeing is that? It's just so amazing that God can just take a small amount of humility, which is just the willingness to say, I need God. That's humility. I need God. I just need you. I need you. And then he just is going to come, just like any big hero would, you know, when the girl says, I need you, I love you, you know, and that hero just swoops in and, you know, does his thing. And that's what God wants to be for us. And that's what we get to be for him, just his grateful, loving daughters. I mean, how cool is that?
Wow, it is, and it's like this book is going to be a treasure, Marnie. I know you're doing a big book tour right now and on different radio shows, and you're doing a lot of Google Plus. So, guys, go find Marnie on Marnie Swedberg, and that's Swedberg, and all these links will be in the post with the audio. But you can obviously, for those of you listening on iTunes, if you want to grab all of Marnie's social media, just go to Marnie, M-A-R-N-I-E. Let me say that again. Marnie, M-A-R-N-I-E .com. And you can, go and check out some of those because they will be posted and she'll be on, many different avenues right now in promotion of her book. And when is this available, or is it available now, Marnie?
It's already available right now.
Yay. Okay. Wonderful. That's so great. And so can you get a hard copy, or is it all digital?
No, it's in paperback, okay. Or else e-version as well. Yep.
Okay. Well, I've got my e-version, and I'm going to go grab the paperback because I have a feeling this is going to be a gift book. I think this is going to be one that I'm going to be giving as gifts to people because I just love, you know, everybody can use this, Marnie. It's, you know, whether your life is, going great or you have that, you know, little hiccup in your life, this is definitely a God thing that I feel like the Lord led you to because it is, you know, more than, oh, just let me, you know, tell you how it worked for me. It's okay now, people. It's time to be accountable. So I'm like, oh, yay.
Oh. Yeah, right. It. Can I close by just reading Philippians 2:13? This is from the Amplified Version. For it is not in your own strength, but it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful. Amen. Amen and hallelujah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I feel at peace. I don't know about the rest of you listening, but I just feel like this great joy and peace just with these, you know, this little, I mean, we took like 3 pages out of, 142 mm-hmm. here, you know, and just shared with all of you just a small little bit of it. And I really think this is going to be a life-changing book. And I thank you, Marnie, for being my personal friend that I'll get to hug someday and in real life, and you know, and just sharing with me and the listeners, you know, what you are doing and how the Lord's leading you here.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you, Felice, for just being such a flowing vessel yourself. I always see you that way. Jesus flowing through you in so many ways.
Oh, well, God bless. Okay. Thanks so much for coming on, Marnie.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining another episode of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show. Please connect with me, Felice Gerwitz, and all of our show hosts on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network on Facebook. Until next time, keep smiling.